Grace to you all and peace from God in heaven and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was born in a stable. 111 years ago this very night, somewhere along the western front of the First World War, soldiers on either side of that conflict shared a strange, almost mystical experience. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's commonly known as the Christmas Truce. Because that's in the singular, you might be tempted to believe, as I did for a long time, that there was only one place where that truce was played out. It was documented in a PBS documentary, among other things, called All is Calm, and cinematically portrayed an impromptu soccer match that broke out between German and British soldiers who had mere hours before been killing one another. But there were, in fact, many such scenes up and down the battlefront. Tens of thousands, perhaps 100,000 French, British, and German soldiers participated in these moments. They were simultaneous, spontaneous, unsanctioned, and beautiful. If you don't know much about World War I, know this. It broke the world's spirit. It shattered the idea that we were making progress. The first flight, the radio, modern industry, the spread of electricity, the vacuum, even crayons, all of these innovations and more were snowballing right around the time this war broke out. And this quickening pace of invention and advancement led us to believe that we were on the brink of a better, brighter future as a species. And then the war. The horrors of the trenches. Armies dug in on either side of a field, slaughtering each other to gain or lose a few yards. By the end, 10 million soldiers dead. Prior to this war, the most popular conviction in Christianity was that we were headed towards a utopian future. And when we reached it, Christ would return and reign in glory. This war was so completely horrifying and discouraging that that belief was squashed and a new one took its place and came to dominate the Christian imagination. We were not progressing towards utopia. We were declining towards an apocalypse, a fall into total wickedness and chaos, into which Christ would return, but at the head of heavenly armies, with fire and judgment in his wake. We were not bound for heaven on earth. We were headed to hell in a handbasket. Okay, I promise this gets more Christmassy in a second. I'm just looking through, I think it's this page. It's two pages. I think it's this page that it gets Christmassy. You know what? It gets Christmassy right now, in fact. Because this is precisely what Christmas is all about. Light enduring in darkness. Hope persisting in the face of hopelessness. And there have been few times in human history that seemed more hopeless than World War I, and few places darker than those trenches for those young men. But then, suddenly, in the dark of night, and not just any night, but Christmas Eve, a little light shone forth. It started with the German troops, who lit candles and placed them on the edge of their trenches. Like the shepherds in our Christmas story keeping watch over their flocks by night, I have to imagine the British troops were at first afraid. The darkness was safe. In some ways, a break from the daylight in which you were so easily spotted in the crosshairs of an enemy's rifle. And when you've gotten used to darkness like that, light can be terrifying. What are they doing over there? Are they planning something? Is this a trap, a trick? Everybody, be on high alert. But then the Germans brought something else out, a Christmas tree. Likewise covered in candles, and they perched this on the edge of their trench too. Now it wasn't just light flickering in the darkness, it was a symbol of hope shining through the despair. And so a British soldier ventured a hopeful greeting across the field, "Happy Christmas." And a German soldier responded, "Frohe Weihnachten." Someone else started up a Christmas carol, and soldiers on both sides joined in, their voices echoing across the expanse between them. This is true, by the way. Nobody knows who first dared to climb out of their trench, stand up in full view of enemy rifles, and start to walk across no man's land. But someone did. Someone crossed that dark and deadly field, following the light of the tree. The soldiers then exchanged gifts who had previously exchanged bullets. Little bits of tobacco, matches, paraphernalia from their uniforms. The next day, they even conducted a combined Christmas worship service, just like this one, in their several languages. In the midst of all that war, they shared a moment of peace on earth, all because of a Christmas tree, a beacon, a symbol of this season's great hope, a reminder that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. If we fly now from the battlefields of Europe to the fields outside Bethlehem 1900 years earlier, we find more young men sitting in a dark field. They're watching over their sheep. And they too suddenly saw a bright light pierce that darkness, and they were terrified at first. But then they, like the soldiers, dared to stand and walk towards that light. In their case, not a symbol like the tree, but the true source of light and life and hope, the baby Jesus, God with us. God who chose out of great love to live among us as one of us in order to redeem all of us, even the dark, scary, hopeless corners of our very human lives. The shepherds came out of their dark field and stood in the Messiah's glow. And then they took that light back with them as they returned into their darkness. They passed through the streets of town, glorifying and praising God because of what they had experienced, because of whom they had encountered. That's our calling. That's your calling, to experience, like the shepherds did on that first Christmas night, the grace of Jesus Christ. And then to bring that warmth and that power and brightness back into the world. Not to conquer it or destroy or dominate it, but to illuminate it. To reflect the hope you have received, the hope that has been entrusted to you. To be Christmas trees on a battlefield, in other words. And now that you've heard what a single tree can do, just imagine how the world might be changed and illuminated when all of us shine together with this glorious purpose. We are called to be the light, and we are called to follow the light. So ask yourselves, where is the light guiding you? Where is Jesus calling you? Where is Jesus sending you? What fields might you bravely cross? What enemies might you embrace? And now a challenge or a game. On your drive home tonight, see, count how many Christmas trees you can spot in yards and through windows. The more competitive among you are probably saying, "Well, one, I'm at one already. There's one here. There's another one on your way out of the building, at least one." And when you get home, take a moment to look at your own tree with fresh eyes and appreciate the power of that symbol. And remember these stories. And remember the hope we have in Jesus. and remember your own calling to reflect and extend His light and grace in a world that sometimes seems so dark, because you are Christmas trees. Amen.